Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Hey, we're ready for an exciting time in the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Hey, Lord, we just thank you for the privilege to gather together as a family, the privilege to gather around your Word. And as we've already heard, Lord, your word is what cuts us, it sharpens us, it changes us, and it transforms us. And Lord, we want to hear your word tonight. Yeah. Not the words of a man or a woman. Not that I'm confused. But that, Lord, that you want to have your way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Take your seats. Oh, sometimes you've got to lighten air. Well. Hey, I'm excited to share the word with you tonight, and I've got to give you a bit of a background and a bit of kind of like a lead way into where we're heading. And we're actually going to start in John chapter 4 together, and I just need to give you a precursor, because you know, before John chapter 4 is John chapter 1, there's John chapter 2, there's John chapter 3. And it's important that we capture the essence of all of these things leading up to this, because I actually feel as that God is actually doing something that we are to lean in into this season. And firstly, it's this. John chapter 1, Jesus turns up on the scene. You know, he is the Word, he is light, he is all of these things. And the kingdom of God is the kingdom of light. The kingdom of light is the absence of darkness. And so he is the entirety of that, okay? You're only chapter 2, and it's Jesus hanging out with his bros and his family, and he's at a wedding, and he turns water into wine. Do you remember that moment? Okay, water into wine, significant moment, speaks of the old covenant going into the new. It was a prophetic action of what God was going to do. I talked the last time, a couple of weeks ago here at City Location, about being a presence conscious people and living aware of his presence, hearing his word and doing what he says. Do you remember that? And then you rock up to John chapter 3, and it's like the pinnacle point of the conversation that Jesus is having with somebody by the name of Nicodemus, an elite man in the religious sect. He's having a conversation. In that conversation, he unpacks with him what it means to be born again and says, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you want to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. And so what does it mean to be born again? He unpacks that with Nicodemus. And so in John chapter 2, we see the disciples believe in Jesus because he did this miracle at Cana with turning water to wine. It was pretty amazing. And it says that they believed and they went with him. And then John chapter 3, Jesus has a conversation with a religious man, shares it with him, but Nicodemus is still wrestling with the truth. And we get to John chapter 4, where it's like this pinnacle moment that happens. Now, most of us will be familiar with the story of the woman at the well. The woman at the well is escaping the town of Samaria in the heat of the day to go and get water. And to do that without others seeing her because she has a past. But she runs into a man named Jesus who changes everything in her life in one conversation. And in one conversation, this woman's life is changed. And we know that the power of one story that encounters Jesus is massive. And what it can actually do. And you know, I'll be really honest with you, I'm hearing so many stories at the moment of how people are encountering Jesus for the first time. And there's something about it, and I believe this is what God is on in this season. But have you ever been in a moment where you have missed it or you've missed something? Let me put it to you like this. A friend of mine recently went out on a few different dinners with somebody, and she thought it was just dinner with a friend. But she missed it. Have you ever missed it when you've had a moment where I was at a funeral a couple of weeks back, and in this funeral I was deep in meaningful conversation with somebody, and then this person just walked up, sidelined the whole conversation and interrupted it and just missed the moment that was happening, and then just started to proceed to tell me about his family, his kids, his wife, his da da da, and you're like, I think you missed it. Have you ever been there? It's interesting, my nan, she passed away. It was her funeral that I was at, and she was 97 years of age. She lived a long innings. If I make it that long, I'm praying, Lord, for miracles in my body, because like, I've got another 45 something years to get there and I still need help. So I'm like, Lord. But my nan, she had this moment a year and a half ago where she nearly passed away. Now, she's been a Christian woman since the age of 17, got radically saved, in a Methodist church, was filled with the Spirit and came out of a Methodist church into a Pentecostal church that had just been started and had a real significant encounter with the Lord. And she shared the Lord with different people along the paths that her journey has taken her. But when she had an accident a year and a half ago, she fell over, she had a brain bleed, and she fractured her spine. They rang me when I was in Perth and said, preaching, and they said, listen, your nan's had a fall, she's not going to make it. In that moment, I was like, what do you mean? And they're like, well, she's had a brain bleed, she's lost her ability to speak, and she's got a fractured spine, and she can't move, and she's in pain. So I'm talking to my nan. She's frustrated because she can't talk back, but she can hear and understand everything I'm saying. I pray with her on the phone. I ask the Holy Spirit to touch her body, to bring healing to it, that she would have her voice until the day she's finished and finish the task in which the Lord had put before her. And in that moment, I said, Nan, if you're still here on Monday, I'll come and see you because the doctors have given her 24 hours to live. Well, Saturday rolled around. I got a phone call expecting it to be the worst. Funnily enough, it was the best. Hey, Nan is up, walking around, talking, telling people about Jesus. I was like, that's pretty amazing. And I came back, and as I said to her, I would come back and visit her. So I went and saw her. And as I sat with her, she began to unpack with me what she had missed in the time present, just gone, time past. What do you mean? And she's like, I found purpose in my waiting. She saw the prison home, nursing home. She saw the nursing home as her prison. When she came back from that encounter where she was on death's door, she saw the nursing home as a prison of people that need to be set free. So she made her mission in the waiting, her purpose in the waiting, between that and death, to be, there is one thing on my mouth. It is the message of Jesus. And you need to know him. And if you don't, there's only two places that you go. And if you don't, well, that's clear. So my nan is having these conversations. And my nan is all of a sudden like this accelerated version, to the point where at her funeral, I showed videos of her and sharing her heart and sharing, some of you may have seen it on social media, but I shared that with our family at the funeral. I'm like, whoa, I didn't know that Nan did that. I didn't know Nan. Like, there was this whole side of Nan that all of a sudden the world got to see. And she went out with an absolute bang. She said, Cherie, I want you to do my funeral because my funeral will be my final call for salvation. So I did her funeral, and at the end of it, got the opportunity to put it out there and just to ask people in the room. I'm not asking you what church you go to. I'm not asking what religion you are. I'm asking you, do you know him? Because if Nan was here, the two questions she would ask you is, do you know him and do you love him? And her final call, there were multitudes of people in that room that did not know him, from workers to family members on the other side of her family that did not know him or had walked away from him. And they got the final call. See, our story matters. Our life matters. And what we do with it matters. And this story of the woman at the well is such an interesting story. It's 42 verses long. But she's only ever known as the woman. But she had a name. Her story mattered. Friend, I don't know who you are, where you're from, but whether you're a woman or you're a man, and hopefully you're not confused about that, but you have a story. You have a story, and it matters. It matters. And God doesn't want you to miss a thing when it comes to what he has for you. Now, what's really interesting in this is, I'm going to be really honest with you, when I read this passage, I was like, Lord, have I missed something here? Come with me to verse 27 of chapter 4. She's just had the moment with Jesus, and Jesus said, I'm the Messiah. You know, I am he who speaks to you. And this is what it says in verse 27. It's titled this in my Bible, The Whitened Harvest. And it says this, at this point, his disciples came, comma, pause. The disciples had gone into town, into Samaria, to get food to bring back. let's move on. The disciples at this point had came back, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one had said, what do you seek or why are you talking to her? And the woman left, and she left her water pot, and she went on her way into the city that they had just come from and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And then they went out to the city and they came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. And he said to them, I have food to eat of which you don't know. Now, pause, moment. She's just gone into town and told her story to a group of people that she was trying to hide from. She went back to a town where she was shamed and she tells them her story. And that in itself is wild, and I don't have time to dive into the fullness of that. But it clearly says she went into the town, she told them her story, then they went out of the city and came to Jesus. Friend, your story can bring people to Jesus. And Jesus is on this at the moment. Because you've got to understand, it wasn't the miracles of water to wine that brought the multitudes to Jesus. The 12 believed in him and they went out to a town to reach people. They went to the religious people and they didn't even accept it. And it wasn't the teachings of how to be born again that actually caused people to run to Jesus. It was in this moment that a woman took the story of her encounter with Jesus to a city that so desperately needed it, that was on God's heart from the very beginning, shared it with them, and they came to Jesus. Hang on a sec. Do you get that? The story of your life encountering Jesus can turn a whole city to him. Yes, the Lord wants to do miracles through you. Yes, the Lord wants to raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, heal the sick. He wants to do all that through you. But it's purely just the encounter with him that changes everything for a city. Now, I need you to catch this next part because it's interesting here. This is where I was like, Lord, have I missed something here? Because right buried in the middle of this story is this. Now, if you're telling a story and someone goes on a total divergent of stories and you're like, how did we get there? And then how let's see. But this is what he does. Listen to this. It says, in the meantime, his disciples urged him, hey, Rabbi, you should eat food. And he said to them, I have food to eat which you do not know. The disciples are completely confused because they're thinking, where did he get food? They said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat and we don't know about this? Like, did the woman give him something? Ha! And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do not say there is still 4 months of the harvest. Then comes the harvest. But behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows, he who reaps, may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him. Here we go, back onto the track. We went this way and then we're going this way. And many Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged with him to stay with them a couple of days. He stayed 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you have said, but because we ourselves have heard him and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Not even the disciples have got this worked out to the degree here that these guys have. But did you miss it? That, like, we went from story of the woman at the well, her encounter, the harvest is ripe, and then back to the story of the woman. and the impact. And I said, did you miss it? So when I read this, I was like, hang on a second, what am I missing, Lord? Why is this like just tucked in to this story? What is it that I'm missing? And he says to me, Sheree, the disciples prioritized eating and they went in to a city, Samaria, to get food. This woman left Samaria to get water. She drops her jar at the feet of Jesus and runs into town, to the same town that they had just been from, and her testimony unlocks the whole city. The disciples missed it. The disciples missed the opportunity in Samaria. They were in the city, busy buying food, doing life, getting stuff for Jesus. And they bring it back to him. And they're like, what's that lady running for? Why'd she leave her pot? And has he already had food? Because they're concerned of things of the natural. But this woman goes back to the place where she is demised, shamed, and condemned, and comes back to them with a supernatural portion of this. Could it be the Messiah? This is my story. This is a game changer. I don't know if you're capturing this, but the disciples missed it. And Jesus says, whoa, 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 boys, hang on a sec. Come here. The harvest is ready. You've missed it, but she has received it. She has gone after it. Disciples had seen Jesus turn water into wine. They could have rolled into Samaria and been like, okay, everybody, need to listen up. We're with a man who turned water into wine. Come and see. We've talked with him and he's talked about the kingdom of God and we know what it is to be born again. Come and see. She has one encounter. And her first response is to take that encounter and share it with somebody else. And as she does, a whole city comes to Jesus. Poke the person next to you and tell them you've got a story of encounter. You've got a story of encounter. See, Leonard Ravenhill says this. The opportunity of a lifetime must be seized within the lifetime of the opportunity. Amen. The opportunity of a lifetime must be seized within the lifetime of the opportunity. Friend, I'm telling you right now, if you want to capture anything today, I'm telling you right now, there is the opportunity of a lifetime before you. And a world that so desperately needs to know him just needs to know of the encounter that you have been through, what you have experienced in and through him. See, Samaria was on God's heart from the very beginning. It says in verse 3 of this chapter, it says that they were headed to Galilee, but Jesus needed to go to Samaria. Jesus' heart and intent was not just to meet with the woman. His heart and intent was for Samaria. He knew he needed to go there. But what the key was to that city was not to send the disciples in looking for bread, because clearly that didn't work, but to send a woman back in with a testimony of an encounter with a living God that changed everything in her life to the point where she was like, I don't care what you think, I've met the Messiah. Changes everything. Question is, what opportunities are we missing out on in our fields and the spaces in which God has called us to occupy in this world? Because I'm telling you this, we're not looking for an evangelism strategy. The strategy is you. God in you. The God of encounter in you. See, this thing you've got to understand. John chapter 12, verse 32 says this, if I be lifted up, Jesus talking of himself, He says, I will draw all men unto myself. Do you know the only thing that's required that in your story is that you bring the center of it to Jesus? And he'll do the drawing. That woman didn't have to be like dragging people to Jesus. She shared, he drew, they came. Imagine what God could do through your story. See, it says in verse 39 that many believed because of her story. Many came to Jesus because of her story. But then they come back to her in verse 41 and verse 42 and say to her, it's not because you said, it's because now we've encountered. Your encounter with Jesus could lead somebody to him and to their own encounter that could change their life and change a generation. I was thinking about this in respect to the reality of my own experience, and I only share from my own background, but pretty much I grew up in a Christian family. I was saved at the age of 5 and had a radical encounter that you could not take away from me, that God was real. And my nan, as I met with her, was like, Sheree, you got to understand, your great-grandmother prayed for you. And when she passed on, she passed the baton on to the next generation and said, I want you to pray for every generation that comes from there. And so every generation was covered with prayer. And on my mum, nan's side of the family, my mum's side of the family, in all of our family history, there is only one person at this point who is not old enough. Yeah, he's old enough. He just needs to come to Jesus. But he's the only one out of all of our family that is not following Jesus in pursuit of him. And that's just because he hasn't encountered him yet. But out of all of the generations, there was one. And her story as she passed on was, hey, I want you to take on the burden for this for the next generation. She said it to my mom and all her sisters. It's with you now. It's with you. The future stories of the generations are with you. Why? Because the Bible says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Father or the Lord of the harvest for laborers. Friend, just poke the person next to you and tell them that they're a laborer. You're a laborer. And the baton starts with you. Will you posture yourself in a place of prayer and seeking after his heart for the generations to come? Now, I don't know your family. I don't know your background. I don't know whether you're the only one saved in your family or whether you come from a generational history of Christianity. But the question is, do you know him and do you love him? And if you love him, you'll love what he loves and lean into what he loves, and that's other people knowing him. So what can we do? Well, verse 35, Jesus has this conversation with the disciples. Let's turn to verse 35 together. Jesus says this to his disciples. Hey, boys, verse 34, hey, you kind of missed it. I'm not really hungry because my food is about the Father's business. I get my bread elsewhere. And then he says this. He says, do not say that there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are ready, white for harvest. Friend, the Lord is prompting each one of us today to lift up our eyes. To lift up our eyes and to not miss it. To not miss it, because the question that's asked is, what do you see when you look up, when you lift up your eyes? What do you see? My nan firstly saw a prison that she was contained in, to only realize it was a prison that she was meant to set captives free in. What do you see? Lift up your eyes and what do you see? Maybe you need to see Jesus in the fullness of your own story of encounter and get a fresh perspective on what he's done for you. The second thing is this that he says is look to the fields. What are your fields? What do they look like? Is it a university? business, workplace? Is it a government sector? What are your fields? And what do they look like? See, every week, I'm going to be really honest with you, we have people coming to the front in our altar calls and getting saved. I was chatting to a couple of guys who I'd known through a couple of girls that came to our church that were US exchange students, and they had shared their faith with others, and as a result, they had come to church, experienced God themselves, and were now bringing people from the university to church. And they brought one to me a couple of weeks ago, and in that moment, began to share about how they came to know Jesus. And I was like, this is wild. Salvation is happening left, right, and center when people actually get a revelation of, oh my gosh, this is an encounter I had with the Lord, and who can I share this with? Who can I navigate this story with to be able to encourage somebody else about who Jesus is? Now, I'll tell you this story because it was entertaining. I was sitting in an airport coming back from Bali, and as I was sitting down, I sat next to a gentleman, probably about the same age as my dad, late 60s, sitting down, and he's reading a book. And it was a book, something of the title like, All Religions Are Man-Made. I was like, well, this could be an interesting conversation. So I leaned into this conversation with this man next to me as I had my book next to me, which was The Quest for Revival. And I thought, couldn't get two more distinct topics as we sat together. And so I sat down and I just said, oh, look, that looks like an interesting read. What's that about? And I just got him to sort of unpack a little bit, and he started to share his own story and how he was a young kid who had come out of a Catholic church about the age of 13, had engaged in brainwashing as a kid in the Catholic church, and decided that Jesus and religion were all man-made things to keep man on the straight and narrow. And so he walked away from it and had followed science. And that he was convinced that science was the way. And so I was like, well, this will be interesting because I don't know much about science, and I'm probably not really interested in knowing much about science, but I am interested in Jesus and how he could change your life. And so how do I do this? Now, I just shared with you that my story was salvation, saved at the age of 5. I can't share that part of my story with him because he goes, brainwashing. So then I was challenged, what part of my story in my life with Jesus can I share with him that is not just the moment I came to salvation, but that gives me evidence of who he is and how he's real? And in that moment, I then unpacked with him, well, listen, I've had a couple of near-death calls, where I have been on the verge of passing away, and I know that God has intervened in my life and he saved me, and I started to share some of the stories that scientifically can't be proved, and I started to unpack some different things that scientifically could be proved and that he had to then battle with in his own mind about, oh, okay. Friend, can I just say, you need to look at your life on a timeline span before you met Christ, when you met Christ, and after you met Christ. Yeah. And what you need to do is to look at the fullness of your story and pull out when you met Jesus and how he changed your life and other encounters that you've had that speak to who God is. And as you do that, I promise you that when the moment comes in a conversation with somebody, you will have the privilege to be able to share from your story, your personal experience, what God has done for you. Because no one can negotiate with that. Your life, your experience. And that's what this woman did. She took her moment of encounter, dropped everything else that she came to do to go after the people in the city that were on God's heart. God wants to do the supernatural through you. He wants to reach a world through you. So the third thing you can do is ask yourself, am I ready for the harvest? Am I ready? Am I ready for the harvest? Because verse 38 of this passage says this, I sent you to reap for that which you have not labored, that others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. This is going to be wild, but as I was reading this, I was like, Jesus is speaking this to the disciples at that current point. And he says to you, I sent you to reap that which you have not labored, the city of Samaria, and others have labored, the woman, and you have entered into their labors because of their labor. Friend, I want to encourage us around this idea that the harvest is ready. The laborers are few. The person next to you, the person in the mirror, you're the laborer. You have a story of encounter that the Lord actually wants to use to reach people. 1 Corinthians 3, 5-9 talks about one waters, one plants. And it goes on and says, each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. The opportunity of a lifetime is before us, friends. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. You know what's so cool? Is when I look around the room, and I looked around through worship, I just looked at people that have told me their story and shared with me about how Jesus changed their life. And I looked around and I was like, wow, imagine if the world heard that story. 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 I don't know what sort of platform you've got, whether you've got like 5 friends, 50 friends. But your story could change the world of one person. And if it was one person that you were set about by God for such a time as this, to be in this city for this moment, in this field, ready to go to work, and it was for one, he says it's worth it. Imagine. What if your one is the next Billy Graham? What if your one is the next Ron O'Bonkey? What if your one is the mum that raises a Christian family who love the Lord and serve the Lord with all of their heart, and every generation after it follow him? What if you're one? Your story matters. Let's not be like the disciples and miss it because we're busy and preoccupied by doing things for Jesus when he had sent them to a town which his heart was beaten for. They came back with nothing. She went out with changed life and came back with everything. The world needs you. The world needs your story. Because you'll reach people I'll never reach. You'll reach people that others in this room won't reach. And if I'm really honest with you, I think we are living in a greater time of the harvest being ready than we've ever been in before. Friends, the conversations I'm having with people, whether it be at the gym, whether it be on the airplane, whether it be people in Bali, whether it be people at a funeral, people are hungry, people are open, people are listening and leaning in way more than they ever had. I used to share my story or tell people about things and they'd be like, you know, back it up. Actually, can I share a really funny story with you? Last weekend, I was in Perth and I was preaching at a church over there, and I was staying in this apartment complex, and it was like, it was only like 5 levels high, but I was on the second level, all right? Not too high. I got in the lift, and literally there's a lady in there with her partner, and he is like looking real shady, and she's like, oh, don't go standing next to him, he's sick. He had some bad pizza last night. And I was like, oh yeah, bad pizza, all right, okay. I backed up into the corner and I'm standing there. 2 levels of a flight, not much. Would you agree? In those 2 levels, I heard this woman's whole life story. Every part of her story. From the rotator cuff to the kids, the spine to the child protect, like all the things, I heard her whole story within a lift. If she can get a whole life story in a lift, what? Imagine what you could do. Imagine what you could do. This woman's story was torturous. I was like, dear Jesus. Can I be real with you? Are you okay if I'm real?
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know how else to be. So you're just going to get it anyway. But I was standing in that lift going, Lord, I've got to get to this church and I've got to preach. And the Lord's like, this woman. And I'm like, yes, Lord. Okay, Holy Spirit, what are you doing? Yep. Okay, Lord, all right, silence of heaven. Do you have another of those moments? Okay, Lord, so what am I going to do? Right? Okay, yep. We get out of the lift and we walk through the foyer. I continued to hear about her whole life story. And he'd done the bolt. He'd gone to the car because he was sick. And so we're walking out and she's like this, my back, my spine, and dirt, and this problem, and that problem. Ever since I had kids, this and that, and this and that. And I was like, whoo! And so I didn't have this.
You should tell her.
Nothing. All I know is I'm there to tell others how to share Jesus. I've got a woman in the lift who can't stop complaining about life, her body, and the mess that she's in. And she's just presenting everything of need to Jesus. And I'm like, all right, Lord, here we go. Here we go. And so I just stopped there and I said, hey, listen, what's your name? And she's like, Jody. Hey, Jody, my name's Sheree. I said, listen, this might sound really, really crazy. I'm a Christian and you've just shared a whole bunch of stuff that feels like really heavy. And it feels like your body needs healing. But I think actually what God actually wants to do is just let you know that he loves you and that today you're seen. And as I began to share with her, she was like, oh, yeah, thank you. And I said, look, do you mind if I pray for you? And she's like, yes, thank you. And I'm like, Jody, I'm just going to pray for you. And she's just stood still for a second. I said, Lord, I thank you for her. She's probably from, well, not that far, this far away. And I was like, Lord, I thank you for Jody. I thank you that you love her. I thank you love her kids and you love her partner. And that, God, you want to reveal yourself to her today and you have brought her path across mine. I thank you, God, that you are real. You're going to touch her body. You're going to heal her. Short prayer. Boom. Bang. Boom. She's bawling. She's a mess in the car park. And I said, Jody, I hope you have an amazing day. I'll be praying for you. Can I be real with you? Because when I was having the conversation with the Lord, I was like, Lord, what am I going to do? I'm here for all of 5 minutes in Perth. I don't know nobody. I don't know nothing. What do you want to do? How do you want to do this? What do you want to connect her to? And he says, you were just there to simply point out that I am here, that I love her, and that I have not missed a beat in her life. And I was like, okay, job done. Now, I share some of these things with you because I want to provoke what is in you to come out of you. You have your own stories of encounter. You have your own stories of what God has done for you, how he has healed you, how he has restored you, how he has pulled you out of financial difficulty, how he has made a way for you in different things and circumstances and situations. Friend, I can tell you right now, whatever the part of your story is, the Bible says if you would just lift up the name of Jesus, he would draw all men unto himself. Now listen, it may take a little bit of practice, it may take a little bit of like, you know, have a crack with your friends, get a life group together, talk a bit about your stories. It might just have a go at like some of the trial experiences and be like, Jesus loves you. Right? All I know is, if you bring some awareness of who God is, you have done what has been asked of you. And I'm telling you right now that you... Some of your stories, man, if they would only just be shared. There is salvation for others on the other side of it. And for some of you, your story is actually going to bring salvation to cities and nations. Like, you're literally going to be like the woman that goes to Samaria and tells a story and the whole city turns because they can only believe in a God who could do that. She was not respected by her community. She was looked down upon in her community. And she had a story. I don't care what your status is in this world. Jesus doesn't. He put you there. Set you up so that you could reach people there. You'll reach people I'll never reach. You'll have conversations with people I'll never meet. Imagine a city with people sharing their stories. And the glory of God that could break out. I mean, just turn to the person next to you in this moment and ask them to give you a 30-second snippet of your story. I came to know Jesus when, how. That's it. Do it. Go for it. Okay, now flip it over. The other person, tell your story. Because sometimes all you're going to have is a 30-second conversation. Okay. Now, you've just heard each other's stories. And more chances are that you're sitting next to someone who has a completely different story to you. Now, can I just make a really, really small suggestion? Just make a mental note of that. Put it in your pocket. Because if it's completely different to yours, that moment when you're having a conversation where your story doesn't relate to them, but you got that person's story, hey, let me tell you about a friend who. Do you know how many times I have told someone else's testimony? Like it's my own. Like I own that thing. I'm like, I've got this friend and I get after it and I share their story because they have a completely different background, a completely different story to mine, and their story has power in that moment. I'm not about to share my own. I'm going to share something that's going to bring something to them. Now, I said before, whether that's me being saved, me being, you know, saved by God in life here so that I could live a bit longer and have a bit more of a story to tell, I'm going to find something to share. But in the worst case scenario, I don't have anything. I've got a community of believers around me that have multiple stories. Like, seriously. I mean, has anyone here met Victoria? Yeah, come on. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, you would have heard her story as she got up and shared at the prophetic summit. Her story is like, I sat with her and she shared her story, and it was an hour and a half of time that I sat with her, and all I could do was go, God, you're just so good. Like, you are just so good, over and over and over and over and over again. Before she was even saved, he was invested in her life. And she's got stories to tell. Now, she's got a whole thing worked out so she can share that story on a platform and do it over a period of time. She's gone and get it worked out so she can share it in a couple of minutes on a platform. She's got it shared, worked out so she can share it at a cafe with somebody. I'm telling you right now, your story, long, short, or big, it doesn't matter. It will change someone's life if you would just share it. Whoa, have you met Lucas? My friend Lucas here. He's got a wild testimony. He got radically saved and converted and came out of a lifestyle of substance abuse and prison and a whole bunch of other things. And his story is wild. Do you know how many times he shares Jesus with people and tells his story and the people's lives that are impacted by that? I'm like, get my cousin, my little nephew, not cousin, nephew, just shove him in that conversation over there. Like, because everyone's story has an impact. The question is, will you actually put it out there for it to have an impact? Because a story is not a story unless it's told. And please, can I be really honest with you? Don't leave it to someone at your funeral to tell your story. It's not a life lived well. Make the dash count. Make the dash count. You're living in the lifetime of an opportunity. Make the dash count in your life. However short, however long, whatever you've got, give it to God. Give it to God and watch Him do what only He can do in saving others in and through you. Through your story. Man, I look around the room, I'm just like, I want to call out everybody's story. I'm like, do you know Sarah's story? Do you know Barb's story? Do you know Jeremy's story? Do you know the stories? Because, can I be really honest with you? We get comfortable in church and we actually forget that how we got saved. And we get really good at telling the stories about how, you know, I prayed for this person and this happened and Lord's like, don't give a rip about any of that. Care that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and care about someone else being in there with you. Oh, but I'm just on a little bit of a, like, There's something, I feel it, like the Lord wants to crack something open in this space. Can I put out a public dare? Are we allowed to do that? I don't even know. Can I put out a public dare? Okay. If you're on Instagram, awesome. That's the only thing that I can really navigate. Facebook's too much. Instagram, my handle, I don't even know what if that's what you call it, the handle? Yeah? My handle is at Cherie Rice. What I want you to do is I want you to DM me. I want you to DM me when you tell your story to somebody else this week. And I want to hear about what happened when you shared your story. And I don't care even if you have to borrow someone else's story and share it. I want you to step out this week and I want you to share with somebody the love of God that changed your life and how He worked your life, all things together for the good. And I'm going to do it. I don't care if you got saved at the age of two. You've got a story. You have a story. Whether you feel like it's significant or not, you need to know your story is significant and it matters, and it was here to be able to point people to Jesus. Will you join me this week? Will you take on the dare? I'll do my best to get back to you all. But seriously, I was talking with some friends when I went to Perth. I preached at this church over there, Apostolic Church. Whoa, wild, crazy. God blew up and like people were like, woo, and evangelism, bang, boom. Anyway, crazy, crazy time. But then this other church said to me, hey, we would love for you to come and hang out with our leadership team on the Sunday afternoon after you finish at that church preaching. Would you come and share with our team about how to build a culture of evangelism? And I was like, this is awesome. But see, the thing is, a culture starts with what you are, who you are. It starts from in here. And so she shares with me how her and her team 3 months ago decided that they were going to take a leaning plunge into all things evangelism because they want their church to get there. And I thought, this is awesome. And they decided that for 10 days they were going to share with 10 different people the gospel. And so they created a WhatsApp together and they just exchanged stories about what God had done. Now, as anything, takes a few days just to warm up, get into a little bit of a rhythm. But they had their alarm set. And if they didn't get to tell a person, they had an alarm set so that they could go to the shop and buy some milk and find someone to share with. We've got people praying at 7 p.m. every night for awakening. Because we believe that there's awakening that's going to happen in our city, in our nations, right? We believe it. And so we're combined together and the alarm goes at 7 p.m. and we pray. Ask Aaron. At 7 p.m., no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, no matter what's going on, we stop and we pray, right? But imagine if you tagged onto the end of that prayer a reminder of, oh, I was meant to share my faith with somebody today. Just imagine, look around the room right now, just imagine if each of you shared your story and you did it over the 7 to 8 days and 7 to 8 people were impacted by your story and just maybe got locked into a local church as a result. Could you imagine? Because like, when we get little pockets of people getting saved, there's like, oh my gosh, did you hear this? Oh my, you should hear our team meetings. It's like, did you hear this story? Did you hear that story? Did you hear this story? Did you hear that story? Did you hear this story? Why? Because that's why we're doing what we're doing. We don't care for consumer Christianity where we come and warm our hands by the fire, sing kumbaya, get my tickle me elmo moments, and maybe even some goosebumps, roll around the floor collecting someone else's snot, and then walk out the door going, that was great, be back next week. No. No. We come in here and it's like a fire. We get stoked up and the fire burns and we go out and we burn out there and then we come back in to be reignited with the coals of fire. Oh, I'm just a little bit excited because I just feel like there is something about to crack open over this. Would you stand with me? Got the team to come back. This clock has counted down to 1 minute about 10 times, I'm sure. Friends, are you excited? Can you sense it? Can you feel it? Tonight after our service is finished, I really want you to go to the person. Maybe you don't even know their name. You don't even know them. But maybe walk across the room and find someone you don't know and say, hey, just tell me your story. Because you know what happens? When you share your story, all of heaven leans in. Can you hear that? They're testifying of my goodness. Can you hear that? They're testifying of my saving grace. Can you hear that? They're telling them of how I saved them and rescued them and cleansed them and cleaned them and brought them. Like, oh. Whoo. And hear this. Prophecy. Spirit of prophecy. I've got to get the scripture right. Is the testimony of Jesus. When you tell your story, they overcome by the blood of a lamb and the word of their testimony. When you share your story, you're prophesying into a realm. You have no idea what you're prophesying, you're speaking of your testimony is doing. It's literally unlocking stuff. And other people, it's like, okay, let me put it to you like this. Do you remember when in Acts, Saul is doing his thing, he's running rampant through towns and he's pulling people out for preaching the kingdom of God, and you come across Stephen. Do you remember Stephen?
Yeah.
And it says that Stephen was proclaiming the good news of this gospel, and Saul back then wanted to shut it all down. And so he approved the stoning of Stephen. And it's the only time in scripture where it says that Jesus stood on the throne. Because the gospel proclamation and his life was enough to get the attention of Jesus. No problem in heaven moves Jesus from his throne. No problem you have moves him. But when you share your testimony, I'm telling you, he's leaning in because he's looking for a way in to break into this world where he can be glorified. Oh, your story. We sang it before. When I look back at my life and I see all that you've done. Woo-hoo-hoo. Church, imagine what a world would look like if we shared him and we just simply told of how we came to know him. I dare you to share your story this week. And not just once, but go at it 7 times and inbox me every time. Because I want to hear about it. I want to testify to it. I want to speak of his goodness. I want to share that with others. Oh, he's doing it. But let's go back. Matthew 9, 37 to 38 says this. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. When I look across the room, I don't see a few, I see a multitude. And in seeing a multitude, the Bible says to pray to God for the laborers. Friend, you're praying for yourself. The disciples were praying for themselves when he said that. They were the laborers, you are the laborers. So this is how we're going to do this. I want you to turn to the person next to you. Maybe you want to walk across the room and find someone else to lay hands on. But I want you to pray. Pray that God would give you opportunity. Pray that God would give you boldness. Pray that the Holy Spirit would fill you. Pray that your story would have impact. Pray that your story would be received. Pray that the Lord would cause you to go to work with what he's calling us to go to work with. Not that we'd be busy doing stuff for him, but that we'd be busy going after people with him. The cities and towns that he wants to reach. So right now, I want you to turn to the person next to you. I want you to just lay hands and we need to pray for each other. Because this is how it's done. This is how it's done. Jesus. Oh God, I thank you for every story in the room. I thank you, Lord, for my friends who know you and have something to say about you. And so Lord, I pray right now, Holy Spirit,
thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast.
And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.